What happens when Christmas collides with the front lines of medicine? While most of us are unwrapping presents and overindulging in festive feasts, an army of healthcare professionals continues the relentless work of saving lives. Adam Kay's raw, darkly humorous account of his six Christmases spent in hospital scrubs reveals the hidden reality behind those sliding doors. His book has become something of a cultural phenomenon, recommended by Stephen Fry, praised by healthcare professionals worldwide, and adapted for television after selling millions of copies. Through Kay's unflinching lens, we glimpse the extraordinary dedication, gallows humor, and emotional toll experienced by those who sacrifice their own holidays to care for others. His stories, ranging from hilarious to heartbreaking, have changed how society views the medical profession, particularly during what should be the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas in a hospital bears little resemblance to the holidays celebrated elsewhere. While tinsel might adorn nursing stations and festive music play softly in waiting areas, the reality remains starkly different from the pine-scented timeout most people experience. The seasonal apocalypse of cheer and goodwill that transforms daily life for most citizens bypasses the NHS frontline entirely. Medical personnel face Christmas as just another day, often worse than most. The winter holiday season brings its own unique medical challenges. Respiratory teams battle festive flus that spread through family gatherings. Gastroenterologists handle waves of norovirus. Endocrinologists rescue patients from mince pie-induced diabetic complications. Orthopedic wards fill with elderly patients who've gone full Jenga on the ice. Emergency departments overflow with injuries from champagne corks, roasting tin burns, and children concussed by hastily assembled Christmas gifts. Then there are the more heartbreaking seasonal phenomena. Granny dumping on Christmas Eve, when families deposit elderly relatives at hospitals to avoid disrupting their festivities, and the mental health crises triggered by the season's oppressive expectation of joy. These realities form the backdrop to Kay's experiences working 6 out of 7 Christmases during his medical career, what he calls a perfect snowstorm of being Jewish, well, ish, childless, and working at different hospitals each year. Hospital decorations take on a distinctly medical flavor. Tinsel shaped like ECG traces, Christmas trees adorned with inflated rubber gloves and ring pessaries, and speculums transformed into grotesque reindeer with googly eyes. One year, Kay crafts a wreath from expired condoms with a healthcare assistant, though some hospital Scrooge removes it before their shift ends. These small attempts at festivity highlight the determination of medical staff to maintain some semblance of holiday spirit amid the clinical environment. The contrast between hospital life and the outside world becomes particularly stark during the holidays. Kay describes watching school children performing Christmas carols in the hospital foyer, their enthusiasm waning with each verse, while his pager interrupts his momentary sentimentality. As he leaves, he overhears a man tell his partner, "Good advert for contraception," followed by a patient from yesterday gesturing at him saying, "You should try having this bloke rip you a new one." The holidays bring a special brand of medical emergencies that combine festive enthusiasm with questionable judgment. One 20-year-old wrapped himself in tinfoil as a turkey costume and collapsed from dehydration. Another patient covered himself in gaffer tape for sexual mummification, resulting in an unwrapping that not only removed all his body hair, but effectively circumcised him. The creativity of patients knows no bounds during the festive season. Kay treats a patient with unusual thrush symptoms, including green and red flecks. After examining her, his colleague smugly lectures him about taking thorough histories. When Kay asks what question he should have asked, the answer reveals itself. Have you recently been using a candy cane as a dildo? Another patient, despite having a peanut allergy, used peanut butter as vaginal lubricant, resulting in significant swelling requiring catheterization. After treatment and successful urination, Kay discharges her with mutual agreement to avoid future intravaginal sunpat. In the urology department, a 20-year-old arrives with a translucent skin penis that resembles chicken giblets, the result of applying penis enlargement cream purchased online, actually a potent steroid that thinned his skin to a watery shine. A hip-hop artist in his 20s arrives with difficulty passing urine, specifically controlling it. His hobby involves paying prostitutes to stick needles through his penis, but during the holidays, the regular professional was unavailable. The substitute used different gauge needles, leaving his member like a colander. Kay inserts a catheter, admits him to the ward, and resists texting everyone he knows about this case, though he's now published it in a book. These cases illustrate not just the bizarre situations medical professionals encounter, but how the holiday season seems to amplify human recklessness. The pressure to celebrate, combined with increased alcohol consumption and time off work, creates a perfect storm of poor decision-making that lands people in emergency rooms nationwide. For doctors like Kay, these cases become part of the dark humor that helps them cope with the relentless demands of their profession. Labor wards maintain their frenetic pace regardless of the calendar date. Kay's first Christmas on the labor ward brings festively named babies, Holly and Casper, the latter prompting a midwife to explain the wise men connection he'd missed. This sparks discussion about holiday names until they're interrupted by a 30-week pregnant patient hemorrhaging from her earlobe. Despite initial skepticism, the bleeding proves severe, requiring multiple specialists, blood transfusions, and emergency surgery for an arteriovenous malformation, a rare condition exacerbated by pregnancy. The chaos of childbirth continues unabated through the holidays. During one delivery with forceps as Christmas music plays, a patient shouts at the radio during Johnny Mathis's song, "No, Johnny, that is not what happens when a child is born." Another mother laments that her second child will also be born on Christmas Day. "Everyone's going to think I do this deliberately to save on presents." On his fifth Christmas shift, Kay watches as consultant Mr. O'Hare performs the traditional turkey carving ceremony in full formal wear, treating it like a surgical procedure, with a scrub nurse passing utensils. Later, when faced with a breech delivery he's not confident performing alone, Kay reluctantly calls O'Hare for help, only to discover the consultant never left the hospital. O'Hare confides that even after 30 years, some cases still scare him, a rare moment of vulnerability from a senior doctor. During an apocalyptically busy Christmas shift, Kay meets a patient who's a pediatric nurse. When her mother leaves the room, the patient confesses she hasn't worked since July due to stress, but hasn't told her parents, using pregnancy as cover. Despite returning home hours late covered in bodily fluids, Kay feels fulfilled having delivered 6 healthy babies to 6 healthy mothers, reflecting that the job gives back despite taking so much: Christmases, social life, family life. These moments reveal the emotional complexity of obstetrics, particularly during the holidays. While bringing new life into the world carries inherent joy, the responsibility weighs heavily on medical staff working far from their own families. The contrast between the celebration of birth and the sacrifice of those facilitating it creates a bittersweet undercurrent to Kay's narrative. Beyond the medical emergencies and bizarre cases, Kay's diaries reveal the deeply human moments that define healthcare. When an 82-year-old patient is admitted with a strangulated hernia, he greets Kay during ward rounds dressed in a 3-piece suit with matching tie and handkerchief. His daughter reveals that despite excruciating pain, he made the ambulance wait while he changed into formal attire and brushed his teeth in case I needed mouth-to-mouth. Some standards simply must be maintained, even in medical emergencies. These glimpses of dignity amid suffering recur throughout Kay's experiences. While rushing to discharge patients before Christmas, allowing them to return to their families, Kay notices one patient looking disappointed rather than pleased. Sensing her reluctance, he fabricates concerns about her wound to justify keeping her in hospital, providing her shelter and company over Christmas when she clearly doesn't want to go home. The emotional weight of medical practice becomes painfully apparent when a 91-year-old patient plaintively asks Kay, "I don't want to die," and whether she's dying. Unprepared for such directness, he shamefully lies, saying, "No, don't be silly." She pretends to accept his answer with a faint smile. He spends the rest of his shift obsessing over what he should have said, realizing he never actually talks about death with patients directly. When he returns to her ward intending to speak honestly, he finds an empty bed. She's gone. Similarly devastating is the moment when Kay delivers devastating news to a couple who've lost their pregnancy after their fourth round of IVF, having spent all their house deposit savings on this final attempt. The moment is made more painful when New Year's Eve celebrations erupt around them just as he delivers the news. The contrast between others' joy and their grief almost unbearable. These experiences highlight the emotional labor required of medical professionals, particularly during a season centered around joy and family. The constant oscillation between tragedy and comedy, between saving lives and losing them, creates a psychological burden that Kay's dark humor only partially alleviates. The hospital's social dynamics take on a particularly sharp edge during the holiday season. Kay's keen observation begins with the telltale scent of industrial bleach wafting through corridors, the universal signal of an impending health minister's visit. These politicians, whom Kay acidly describes as political cartoon villains, conduct their ceremonial tours across the country's hospitals, leaving a trail of disinfectant in their wake. They move from ward to ward, surrounded by an entourage of photographers and press officers, mouthing rehearsed platitudes about frontline staff and patient-centered care while carefully maintaining their camera-ready expressions. The ward preparation reaches almost farcical levels, with staff scrambling to present an artificially pristine environment. Concerned about patient confidentiality with the media circus present, Kay exercises his subtle rebellion by replacing patient initials on the ward whiteboard. His random letter selection spelling F-U-C-K-U Tony Blair represents the silent frustration shared by many healthcare workers at these political photo opportunities. The Christmas rota becomes a battlefield of its own, revealing the deep-seated inequities in hospital scheduling. Despite having worked the previous two holiday seasons, Kay finds himself once again assigned to the Christmas shift. His attempts to swap shifts reveal a complex web of unofficial trading and favors that govern hospital staffing. His colleague Donald's suggestion to fabricate a dying mother story, delivered with dark humor but underlying desperation, illustrates the length staff consider to escape the holiday rotation. This gallows humor serves as both a coping mechanism and a commentary on the system's failures. Hospital bureaucracy maintains its Kafkaesque grip through the festive period. The October timesheet dispute perfectly encapsulates the absurdity. Kay's 13-hour shift during the daylight savings change is dismissed with bureaucratic doublespeak. Shifts are defined as 12 hours, irrespective of the number of hours worked. This rigid adherence to policy over reality becomes a metaphor for the larger systemic issues plaguing healthcare administration. The new year brings its own administrative chaos with the introduction of new discharge summary software. The midnight rollout features IT support staff wearing garish sashes, their holiday pay triple-time status a source of bitter amusement to the doctors who receive no such compensation for their own holiday work. The upgrade proves largely cosmetic. The system still relies on faxing information to GPs, a technological anachronism that perfectly symbolizes the hospital's resistance to meaningful change. The IT helper's halitosis becomes an unwanted addition to Kay's night as the demonstration of the new system drags on, highlighting how superficial improvements often fail to address fundamental issues. These institutional frustrations create a stark contrast with the urgent medical needs of patients. While administrators focus on political appearances and technical upgrades, healthcare professionals navigate both the human needs of their patients and the rigid constraints of the system. Kay's narrative reveals how these systemic issues don't merely inconvenience staff. they create additional layers of complexity in an already demanding profession, where life and death decisions occur against a backdrop of bureaucratic absurdity. Amid the relentless stress and bone-deep exhaustion of medical practice, healthcare staff develop sophisticated coping mechanisms, primarily dark humor and deep camaraderie. These psychological tools become as essential as any medical instrument, helping professionals process the daily trauma they witness. On War Grounds, K's registrar Cliff demonstrates this delicate balance when he cheerfully remarks, "Someone's popular," about a patient's card-filled cubicle, a millisecond too soon for K to whisper that the patient's wife had just died. This uncomfortable moment exemplifies the precarious tightrope medical professionals walk between maintaining necessary positivity and acknowledging profound suffering. The doctor's mess transforms into a vital sanctuary, a space where the unspoken rules of gallows humor prevail. Here, medical staff share stories that would horrify outsiders but provide crucial emotional release for those living through similar experiences. Kay's attempted anecdote about the tinfoil turkey costume initially falls flat in the telling, but a colleague's quick wit salvages it with a perfectly timed joke about stuffing, before countering with his own tale about a patient's sexual mummification mishap. These exchanges serve as informal group therapy sessions, allowing doctors to process traumatic experiences through the protective lens of humor. Working Christmas Day on the wards presents its own unique psychological challenges. Doctors must maintain their professional demeanor while surrounded by constant reminders of the festivities they're missing. In one particularly poignant moment, Kay finds himself delivering devastating news to a family about their dying grandmother. The situation takes an unexpected turn when he accidentally leans on his festive tie, triggering an unstoppable tinny rendition of Jingle Bells. After desperately attempting to silence the musical accessory, he returns to find one daughter in uncontrollable laughter and the entire family smiling, demonstrating how even in life's darkest moments, unexpected humor can provide essential emotional relief. The hospital's annual Christmas ball, despite its underwhelming setting in the greasy, windowless basement function room of a local two-star hotel, reveals itself as a crucial moment of human connection. The event, complete with mediocre food and forced festivities, allows Kay to see his colleagues as complete individuals rather than just medical professionals. He observes consultants letting loose on the dance floor, nurses sharing personal stories, and junior doctors revealing hidden talents and interests. This rare glimpse behind professional facades leads to a moment of self-reflection, as Kay realizes he hadn't properly acknowledged their full humanity before, though he pragmatically accepts that their demanding schedules will likely prevent deeper social connections. These moments of connection, whether through shared dark humor in response to tragedy, collective eye-rolling at administrative absurdities, or brief glimpses of personal lives at social events, provide essential psychological support in a profession where traditional coping mechanisms often fall short. The unique pressures of medical practice forge bonds that outsiders struggle to comprehend, creating a tight-knit community united by experiences that are simultaneously traumatic, absurd, and profound. This informal support network becomes as crucial to survival as any formal training, helping professionals maintain their humanity while facing daily challenges to their emotional resilience. Throughout his diaries, Kay vividly illustrates the profound personal sacrifices demanded by a medical career. Christmas dinner, traditionally a time of family warmth and celebration, degrades into hastily consumed toast and discarded quality treats in the hospital break room. The stark contrast between festive expectations and reality becomes painfully clear when he and a fellow house officer half-heartedly pull a cracker in the fluorescent-lit staff room, only for Kay to receive an ironically fitting fortune from a magic fish that simply states, "Moving head, jealousy." The toll on personal relationships emerges as a recurring theme, particularly evident in Kay's relationship with his partner H. While H initially responds stoically to news of K's third consecutive Christmas shift, the accumulated strain of missed dates, unanswered messages, and perpetual absences gradually erodes their connection. During one particularly hectic shift, Kay's phone fills with increasingly frustrated messages from H, each unopened text a small betrayal of their relationship. The breaking point comes during a rare evening off at a performance of A Christmas Carol, where exhaustion overwhelms Kay. He falls asleep, disturbing nearby theater goers with his snoring until an embarrassed H has to escort him home at intermission. A poignant metaphor for how his professional demands consistently interrupt their personal life. The traditional compensation for holiday shifts, that warm sense of purpose and contribution, usually sustains Kay through the difficult periods. However, this illusion of noble sacrifice is shattered by Kate, a senior house officer who demonstrates true generosity without being on duty. Her offer to cover his bleep so he can have a few hours off while her husband takes their children to the park reveals a different way of balancing medical career and personal life. Bewildered by this unexpected kindness, Kay escapes to the cinema, seeking refuge in The Incredibles and his peculiar comfort food combination of sweet popcorn and Skittles. When Kate later assumes he spent the time visiting his parents, her misunderstanding highlights Kay's disconnection from family life. He never even considered using the free time to visit them. These intimate glimpses into Kay's life reveal the deeper isolation that often accompanies medical careers, particularly during holidays and special occasions. The profession demands a constant recalibration of priorities, where patient care consistently trumps personal needs and relationships. The gradual erosion of normal social connections becomes evident through missed family gatherings, strained romantic relationships, and the subtle way medical professionals begin to view their personal lives as secondary to their professional duties. Kay's experiences reflect a broader pattern in medical culture, where the dedication required for excellent patient care often comes at the cost of personal fulfillment and meaningful relationships, a sacrifice that many healthcare workers silently accept as part of their calling. In the book's final section, Kay describes life after leaving medicine. He and his partner Jay alternate Christmas celebrations between their families, each finding the other's traditions bizarre. While Jay's family has elaborate rituals like Bucks Fizz at breakfast, cereal variety packs, meticulously wrapped stocking gifts, and presents opened in reverse age order, Kay considers his own family's traditions entirely nice, normal, and proper. Their personal tradition involves giving their nieces and nephews presents that children love but parents hate. This year, 8-foot teddy bears. During a conversation with his sister about her hospital shift, Kay reveals his nostalgia for working in healthcare during Christmas, which his partner notices despite his denial. This wistfulness suggests the complex relationship many former healthcare professionals maintain with their previous careers. Despite the trauma, exhaustion, and personal sacrifices, something about the purpose and intensity of medical work creates a void that civilian life struggles to fill. The adrenaline, the camaraderie, the knowledge that your work directly saves lives, these experiences create a powerful attachment that persists long after leaving the profession. Kay proposes a new Christmas tradition, acknowledging the 500,000 NHS staff working during the holidays. Rather than watching the Queen's speech, he suggests taking a moment to appreciate healthcare workers without whom we might not all be here. He encourages people to express gratitude by sending cards to their GP, outpatient clinic, or hospital ward, noting how easy it is to make an NHS employee's day, especially at Christmas. This call for recognition reflects Kay's enduring connection to the medical community and his desire to highlight the invisible sacrifices made by healthcare workers. By sharing his experiences, both horrifying and hilarious, he has created a window into a world most people only encounter at their most vulnerable moments, fostering greater understanding and appreciation for those who sacrifice their own holidays to care for others. Throughout his diaries, Kay demonstrates how humor functions as an essential coping mechanism in healthcare. When pediatric nurses ask him to volunteer as Santa in the outpatient grotto, he declines, using his Jewish faith as an excuse. To which a nurse responds that children won't know, assuming you're not planning on showing them your penis. This absurd exchange exemplifies the irreverent humor that helps medical staff navigate emotional minefields. The gynecology ward embraces festive decoration with medical flair. Speculums transformed into grotesque reindeer with googly eyes, and a fairy atop the Christmas tree with an umbilical cord knitted from suture material dangling beneath her tutu. During the staff charity day, consultant Miss Balzac discovers her festive reindeer jumper from Camden Market actually depicts reindeer engaged in explicit sexual activities. But rather than change, she simply continues the ward round. This gallows humor extends to patient interactions. When a patient complains about not being seen first despite arriving earlier, midwife supervisor Linny responds sharply, "I think you're confusing my labor ward with a deli counter." During an infertility clinic appointment, a miscommunication occurs when a patient mentions having trouble with the old downstairs neighbor. Kay assumes he's using a euphemism for erectile dysfunction, but discovers the man actually meant his literal downstairs neighbor's noisy construction was forcing them to stay with parents, limiting their intimate opportunities. These moments of levity provide crucial psychological release for medical professionals confronting suffering daily. The ability to find humor in absurdity without diminishing patient care creates a protective barrier against burnout and compassion fatigue. Kay's willingness to share these moments, often at his own expense, reveals the deeply human side of medicine that patients rarely glimpse. As Kay notes in his alternative Christmas message, "Perhaps the greatest gift we can give healthcare workers is simply recognition, acknowledgement of their sacrifice and dedication during a season when most people prioritize family and celebration." By sharing his experiences through these diaries, Kay has created a window into their world, fostering greater understanding and appreciation for those who maintain the thin line between life and death, even on Christmas Day.